It's nesting season for peregrine falcons here in Wisconsin. That means webcams are popping up around the state so you can watch these birds as they go about raising their newborn chicks. And while that's pretty cool in and of itself, it's especially remarkable when you consider that these birds were completely wiped out here in Wisconsin at one point.
No peregrines are believed to have lived in Wisconsin from 1965 to 1987 after damage done by DDT. Since then, our next guest has been working tirelessly on falcon recovery efforts across the state, and it's been paying off. Greg Septon is with us. He's a peregrine falcon manager, and he's been working for over two decades on these recovery programs. Greg, thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
So what's the current state of peregrine falcons here in Wisconsin?
Peregrines are actually doing fairly well here in Wisconsin, but having said that, I want to make note of the point that most of these birds are nesting in urban areas on human-built structures. Last year, for example, we had a known total of 31 nests that produced a total of 97 young, but only four of those nest sites were on cliffs. So a lot of these birds have not gone back and restored native sites as quickly as we had hoped so. Very frankly, some of the cities today offer these birds an environment that wasn't here 100 years ago that suits them just fine.
Now, reading up on this, it sounds like the process of sort of seeding these nesting sites is called hacking. Is it possible that these birds are just not going to go back to the wild, but they're going to be more urban phenomenon from here on out?
I think you're going to have both. I think you're going to have peregrine falcons reoccupying cliffs along the river, the Mississippi River in particular, and they have been doing that. They've met with some problems with raccoon, predation by raccoons and so on. But again, we have more suitable habitat today across a good portion of this country in our cities. I mean, if you stop for a second and consider the sheer number of tall buildings in cities like Chicago and Detroit and Minneapolis, St. Paul, and of course here in Milwaukee, a lot of those buildings offer nest sites for peregrines. And again, that's an environment there, or habitat that wasn't here 100 years ago.
Is it a similar story across the nation as it is in Wisconsin, this drastic decline and then reintroduction mostly in cities so far?
Well, yes and no. If you stop for a minute, take a look at what's been going on the West Coast, the California, Grand Canyon areas, the Rocky Mountains, of course. Those peregrines have all returned to their historical eyries in the mountains and along the cliffs along the Pacific Ocean and also along the Colorado River. Those populations have been restored. But you need to stop for a minute and consider the fact that there are no very large cities close to those areas either. So those are the mainstay for peregrines in those areas. But when you get east of the Mississippi River, we've built up the environment pretty intensively, and there's a lot of concrete here that wasn't here. And again, the falcons have adapted to that. So if all we have remaining here in the upper Midwest were the cliffs they nested on historically, that's probably the only places they would be nesting. But again, we have newly created habitat that they've adapted to, and they're doing very well.
Now, sounds like post-1965, thanks to DDT, that they were wiped out totally from Wisconsin for a while. What's the history of them since then?
We began a recovery program for peregrines in Wisconsin in 1987 in a similar manner to other states here in the upper Midwest. So it was a regional effort, a regional Midwest effort. And over a 4 or 5 year period, I believe we released 103 captive-produced peregrines here in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, Pleasant Prairie, Madison, La Crosse, and Racine. And those captive-produced birds joined the other captive-produced young that had been released in other states, and they became the foundation, basically, of the population we have here today. All the birds we have here today are offspring and progeny and relatives to the initial captive-produced birds we released back in the 80s and early 90s.
Now, you've put a lot of time and energy into peregrines and bringing them back to Wisconsin. What is it about the bird that you find remarkable?
They're at the top of the food chain. They're the stealth fighters of the bird world. There's nothing faster. And seeing one in a classic stoop or a dive where they can achieve speeds of well over 200 miles an hour, it's pretty awe-inspiring. It's something that you don't get a chance to see very often. And when you do, it stirs your soul. I mean, it's something that's pretty spectacular. And the peregrines themselves are pretty amazing birds. I mean, I'll give you an instance. We had a situation here in Milwaukee last week where an adult male at a nest site was injured. And because he had four young to care for, the males do all the hunting when the females are incubating and brooding their young for the first 10 days or so. So he wasn't able to provide food. So to to lessen the load at that particular site, I took two of the young from that nest and put them into another nest site where the eggs had failed to hatch due to a problem with an intruding female that showed up. And long story short, both young at both sites are doing very, very well. But my point here was that when I opened the back of the box on the nest box, the back door on the nest box at the power plant where I was bringing these two chicks, both adult falcons were sitting on the front of the box, probably 24 inches away. When I took the two young falcons and placed them in the nest box, the adult female actually jumped down off the deck and brooded the two young immediately as I was withdrawing my hands. And just seeing things like that, I mean, getting an opportunity to see that, I mean, that just blows people away and blew me away.
Yeah, that's amazing. And also amazing, you said they can fly up to 200 miles an hour. What does that look like to see when they're swooping in on something?
It's like grease lightning. I mean, it's a stoop. It's a power dive, basically. They'll go quite high in the air, and they'll spot prey, and they'll do a rollover, and they'll make three or four very quick wing flaps, and it sets them into a trajectory course towards their prey. And again, it happens very, very quickly. It's very, very fast. And again, all was spectacular.
We're talking to falcon recovery expert Greg Septon about efforts to bring peregrine falcons back to Wisconsin. By the way, we've got a link to a webcam right now at the Central Time Facebook page. Our producer, Chris Molina, is watching it right now. He says Mama Bird is hanging out with the chicks. So Central Time Facebook page to get a look at that. We also have the call of a peregrine falcon queued up here. Let's take a listen. Sounds like a peregrine and a friend there. Greg, what are you hearing? I assume there's a variety of calls for the peregrine?
That's a cacking call or an alarm call, and what it sounded like I heard there was an adult cacking and some youngs joining in the chorus, maybe at a nest box or a nest site.
And are there other calls? You know, you have that raptor sort of sound that you hear from a lot of hawks and eagles. Do the falcons have a similar thing?
You'll hear a scream occasionally, but another call they make is called an e-chip or an e-chip call. It's a recognition call. And you'll see falcons when they see you at a nest site in particular in the spring. You'll see the adults calling back and forth to each other using that call.
Now, we've talked about how they move, what their nesting habits are like, but what do they look like?
They're about a crow-sized bird. They have a wingspan of about 30 to 36 inches. The males are about a third smaller than the female. The adults have a beautiful powdery blue slate gray back with a black and white barred breast, dark charcoal-colored head, dark brown eyes, bright chrome yellow, sear that fleshy area where their nostrils are above the beak, and eyelids. They're quite striking.
Now, DDT, as we mentioned, was the main reason that the peregrines disappeared from Wisconsin. The DDT is gone. They seem to be coming back. But what are some of the biggest threats? What are some of the biggest roadblocks to the reintroduction here in Wisconsin?
Roadblocks, I guess, early on, some of the captive-produced birds ended up getting hit by cars. Some flew into windows. And having said that, 50 to 70% of all young peregrines, like most raptors, don't make it through their first year. The first-year mortality rate for birds of prey is quite high, and it's nature's way of sorting things out so the best genes are passed on for the following generations. But we've had peregrines that have flown into wires. We've had them hit by cars. We've had them poisoned. We've actually had three that have been shot here in Wisconsin in the last year, which was just really alarming. All three were in cities, so someone was out there shooting at these birds. So then there's a number of different ways that they can find their demise.
Now, it sounds as though it took scientists a long time to figure out that DDT was the culprit for these fragile eggs that were decimating the peregrine falcon population. Why did it take so long?
Well, no one really knew what was causing the problem, and it took scientists to go out and actually collect eggshells, and then they also went about in both England and here in the U.S., and measuring shells from the eggshell collection, bird egg collections in museums across the country. And by measuring the thickness of the eggshells, they determined that the eggshell thinning was the cause of the decline. And then doing chemical analysis, they found out that DDT was the culprit. So it didn't kill the birds outright. It caused the eggs to form very thin shells, which broke under the females during incubation.
Now, looking at their diet and habitat today, I can imagine in the wild, if they'd move back into the cliffs, a lot of food there. What are they eating in the cities? Are there enough mice to sustain them?
First, as far far as the peregrines are concerned, the cities are the wilds. They're wild. These are wild birds, whether they're living in the cities or living along the rivers. They're all the same bird. But in the cities, their prey is pretty close to what you're going to find nesting on the cliffs. I did a survey a number of years ago monitoring 19 urban peregrine nest sites for a period of 6 years. And during that time, I identified 107 different bird species that peregrines had taken in cities. So they take a lot of different birds. The top 10 I have is blue jay, pigeon, grackle, red-winged blackbird, woodcock, sorrel rail, yellow-billed cuckoo. I can't remember the rest of them. But anyway, there's a top 10, and all these species are quite common. And a lot of these peregrine nest sites today in cities are also along lake shores, like the Lake Michigan shoreline here in Wisconsin, as well as Illinois down the Chicago region. So a lot of these urban peregrines prey on the migratory birds that also utilize that same flyway.
And we leave it there. I hope a lot of people have luck watching these wonderful birds on these webcams. We've got a link to one up on the Central Time Facebook page. Greg, thank you so much for joining us.
Again, my pleasure.
That was falcon expert Greg Sefton. He joined us to talk about the comeback of peregrine falcons in Wisconsin and this year's nesting season.